644 1320 WILS. So you probably heard now Kathy Griffin is apologizing. She's been now fired by CNN. This over a photo of her holding the head of President Trump, the decapitated head of President Trump. Not the real one, but Krista Castaneda is with us. She is an attorney and a crisis communication expert, which Kathy Griffin probably needs right now. Krista, great to have you on WILS.
Hi, happy to be here.
Yeah, what, I mean, I guess Kathy Griffin is known to be outrageous. Well, do you think this was just the most horrifying thing ever?
Well, I think it was offensive to a lot of people, and to her point, not very funny, as she went on later and said. So it was kind of pointless and very damaging to her career, as well as hateful and something people didn't want to see.
So she's apologizing this video. Anything else she should do at this point?
Well, now she needs to do something to try to salvage her career. She's, as a result of this miscalculation, she did go on and apologize right away, which was good and important to crisis communications perspective. But now she's got to do something positive to rehabilitate, what she's just lost, which is her CNN gig, which was probably her biggest gig. So she's going to have to come up with strategy that's going to take some time to consider to get herself back in the public's good graces and
CNN,
back on the air.
They didn't make that move initially, right? They came out, they put out a statement saying they're reviewing her contract and their relationship with her. What do you think happened? Probably was hours. It was less than a day between that initial statement and their decision to fire her.
Yeah, I mean, clearly their response to her whole posting and then apology is, we don't want to do business with you anymore. So they didn't take long as far as corporations go to make that decision. They just probably felt that it was better for their brand and not necessary to have her around.
Hmm. Now, from your experience, when you have something like this that really is everyone's talking about, does it go away as quickly as it showed up? Do people just forget about it at some point?
Well, the mass public is going to forget about it fairly quickly. Her followers will remember a bit longer. And the long-term consequences to her career are going to be, of course, most acutely felt by her. Mm-hmm. So for her, it's going to linger a long while. For the rest of us, it'll be over by probably tomorrow morning.
I do wonder, though, because I'm guessing anyone that's a fan of Kathy Griffin is probably not a fan of President Trump. Do you think they would take this to heart, this kind of a photo?
Well, she has her fans, and she must have decided that this was something that her fans would appreciate, or something. Sometimes people are, if they have artistic talent, decide that they want to make a statement that's based on their own convictions. I don't know if this was that, but she could have been doing it just because she felt like it was an important thing for her to convey, even though it was reprehensible to so many others.
How does that happen when someone does? I mean, she's been in the spotlight for so many years that they miscalculate, the outrage that's going to occur when they do something.
How does it happen? I mean, we're all human, right? Even celebrities are human, and not everything is poll tested before they do it. She clearly made a miscalculation, and this was just a little too graphic for most people. Now, political speech like this has gone on ever since we've had politics. It's happened with every administration at some level. Mm-hmm. So that's not surprising, but this was pretty graphic, even in the realm of that kind of stunt.
Yeah. I mean, it's always, to me, it's hard to tell what's going to cause a massive outrage and what is not. Do you think some of it is just a matter of momentum? If enough people get outraged quickly enough, it can develop into a major issue like this versus something where it might be just as horrifying, but people just don't react publicly as quickly?
Well, social media and the way social media is used, in May of 2017 is an ever-changing you know, dynamic. So yes to everything you just said. How do you know this is the thing that's going to inflame everybody? You don't. Is it possible that, you know, the Twitterverse can seize on it more quickly than other things and that's what causes the issue? Absolutely. Will it be the same next month? Absolutely not. Everything's new right now.
Yeah. Are you on Twitter yourself?
I am.
Yeah. And do you ever, how do you decide if you should or shouldn't send something out on Twitter?
If I have any hesitation that I'm going to hear about it later, I really try to censor myself in advance, because that's not what I'm about. I'm trying to provide some interesting piece of news or some interesting viewpoint to the people who follow me. I'm not about, you know, trying to just make a statement of, you know, that some people are going to find, offensive. That's not my deal. That's not my place in this world.
But, I mean, in this case, half of the people on Twitter, I don't know about half, but a good proportion, they do want a shock, right? She knew this was going to cause a reaction going in, right?
She must have. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't know that?
And she, there was a video I saw where she's talking to the photographer, and she's saying, "Wow, we're really going to get in trouble for this." Do you think it was the CNN, the fact that she was about to lose the CNN gig, is that what got her to get out there and apologize?
I imagine that she got some negative feedback, as she said in her message, that led her to understand that this was different. This had gone sideways on her in a way she didn't anticipate. And I think that's probably what led her to make that statement. I think probably, her legal advisors gave her the message that, hey, this is serious stuff when you're appearing to threaten the president. Yeah. You know, you want to make clear it's not your intention to cause him any harm. And then, you know, her agent might have said, you know, CNN and your other sponsors are not going to like this either. You need to do something to fix it.
Right.
So they, all of those things may have driven her apology, but it was, you know, the cat was already out of the bag.
Yeah, she didn't check with him before she did this. Maybe that would have been an idea. Although I don't know if your lawyer is going to tell you if something's going to be funny or not. I don't know if you can trust them on that.
I've been practicing law for 26 years, and no one has ever asked me my opinion on whether something was funny or not in the context of practicing law. So I doubt that was the subject of consideration.
Yeah. The other issue she's facing is the potential legal issue. It is a felony, right, to threaten the president. Could this be viewed as a threat by the Secret Service?
Well, that's what the Secret Service may spend some time trying to figure out. You know, everybody has the right to say, you know, to free speech, to say what's on their mind within certain limits. And one of those limits is you can't actually incite other people to violence, and you can't threaten other people, you know, if your intent is to actually, you know, put people in fear of physical harm or cause them physical harm. That's what the Secret Service is going to look into, was what was her intent. Now, given that she didn't actually say anything in the picture, other than, you know, just the allusion to, his bloody head, I think it might be hard for them to say she had the actual intent to go harm the president. And I think that's part of the reason she made the statement afterwards, apologizing and retracting it.
Oh, because of the potential legal issue, you're saying?
Yeah, and to make clear that she didn't have the intent to harm the president.
Yeah. So let's say if you were to draw a cartoon of the president being assassinated, would that be viewed as a threat to the president?
First Amendment cases are hard to piece through, and, you know, Supreme Court justices come down on various sides of this over the course of time, but generally speaking, one has the right to make political commentary under the First Amendment, as long as you're not actually threatening to harm the president. Or anybody else who's protected by law.
I see. I'm guessing a visit from the Secret Service isn't pleasant anyway.
I wouldn't want to have one.
Yeah. What's Krista Castaneda with us here, 1320 WILS, and you're at CanterburyCommunications.com, by the way, is where you can find her. What kinds of things do you do there at Canterbury?
Corporate crisis communications, anything relating to legal proceedings, need to communicate around legal proceedings. Hmm. That's what we specialize in.
Corporate crisis. Like what's a corporate crisis issue that you'd say you've dealt with?
Well, for example, and I'm not at liberty to divulge, you know, particular clients, but sometimes I'll be called in by companies who are under a government investigation or have a litigation matter that's about to become public, mm-hmm. to try to figure out how to get the right response to the media when the media calls about those kinds of things.
Yeah, isn't it usually like a no comment?
No, no comment is generally not the best position. The best position is, you know, your position stated with factual accuracy and truthfully.
Okay. So basically telling them this is actually happening, it's not good news, and then hoping that just dissipates from there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. For example, if you're facing a piece of bad news in litigation or government investigation, you know, being prepared to present the factual side of my client's story to the right media people at the right time. That's what we do.
So when you saw what United went through, that whole mess, did they handle that in a decent way?
No, they were not prepared for. The right message, the right time, stated the right way to the right people. Their corporate communications department.
The problem with Twitter is any message you put out can be turned and spun in so many ways that I even wonder now, do you find it less, kind of more difficult to keep a message on point?
Yeah, and Twitter would not be my first way of putting out news about the company's position because it can be taken sideways, and your point's exactly right. It's harder to control social media nowadays. It's hard to make sure that your message is understood in the right context, and particularly so when you've only got 140 characters.
Yeah. Do you think the media generally kind of rejoices in bad news, especially if it deals with a corporation?
Well, all of this sells news. You know, the traditional media channels are you know, having a heyday over everything that's been going on, you know, mm-hmm. in the administration and with these companies. And, you know, they're getting a lot of attention to their products as a result of these kinds of things.
And it's tricky because, in a way, their interests are not your interests, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly. I would say that fair reporting by reporters who were trained in journalistic ethics and have the desire to get an accurate story out there serves everybody. Mm. Serves, you know, my clients, serves the people who have a need to know, serves the functioning of our government. So I think that the media has a very important role to play.
Yeah, do you find that a lot out there, this fair reporting?
I think most reporters try to do an accurate job. The issue is every reporter's human, and every reporter's going to have their own viewpoints, and they're no different than the rest of us. It's just that they're tasked with trying to put it aside and give us the facts as they find them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Krista Castaneda, you can find her at CanterburyCommunications.com. Krista Castaneda right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Krista.
Thank you.
Yep, 1320 WILS. And that is it, most of it at least. If you missed any of the interviews tonight, you can find them all online. We do post everything on our website. I don't mention it enough, but we have a fantastic website that's updated regularly, as in daily, 1320WILS.com. where you can find all the latest interviews. They're on there for a while. There's a point where we do remove them. We can't just have all the interviews piled up there. But you'll definitely have a chance to listen back if you only caught a portion. We talked to Brad Williams. He was there from the Detroit Chamber at the Mackinac Island, the Mackinac Policy Conference. Tomorrow, the governor will be speaking there, and also we are expecting. Ooh, we are expecting to hear from Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley. He is going to be there tomorrow and potentially announcing that he's going to be running for governor. That's what everyone's waiting to hear. Whether or not he'll do that, we don't know. That was the initial expectation today. And instead, what we got, or yesterday, I should say, instead, what we got was the announcement that he supports a part-time legislature. And a lot more tomorrow, too. We've got, we may be talking a little more about Tiger Woods, about this issue that he has with his back. It's something that's been discussed for a long time now. What the problem is, he's had multiple surgeries. Now he's got the issue with the painkillers, but it may be something that goes far beyond the physical, maybe a mental issue that's connected to his body, and something that someone named Dr. Sarno studied closely. So we are hopefully going to be covering that also. So a lot more tomorrow. And for feedback, if you have comments, if you're listening sometimes and you think, hey, I want to reach out and let them know what I think about this or that interview, send us an email at ccrecap@gmail.com, ccrecap@gmail.com. And we will be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Join us then. Have a good night. Bye-bye.